accession number 20337, Reel 2.
John Wiseman, Reel 2. So, when the Desert War came to an end in 43, what happened to you then?
We came back to England and trained to parachute into France.
But you said you were in Sicily.
Oh, I beg your pardon. I've jumped a year almost, yes. Yes, we trained to land in Sicily. It was the first thing to do.
What training did you do for Sicily?
We were on LCAs, Landing Craft Auxiliary. And we were slung up on the Ulster Monarch, which had been a ship used between Ireland and England before the war. And our boats were up, slung up there, and we trained. We went down the Suez Canal and did our training down there, the south end of the Suez Canal, with these LCAs, Landing Craft Auxiliary. And we didn't know where we were going until a day before we went, but we went back to the Mediterranean on the Ulster Monarch. And then we were told we were going to be the first people on Sicily because we had to put their shore guns out of action before the British invading force could come into the sand and land. We had to destroy the guns in Sicily. So it was Cape. We had to destroy the guns on Cape Moro de Porco, which is Cape Pig Snout. And our job was to get in, climb up the cliffs, take the gun sight, and destroy the guns. And we trained for this down at the south end of the Suez Canal. And eventually we were told what we were going to do. It was quite an adventurous night because we are on these LCAs, which are like lifeboats slung on the davits of the Ulster Monarch. And I was in charge of the actual invasion of the First Force. And my boat fell off its davits into the water below. And we trained getting into it at night again and again till we could do it with our eyes shut. This time we had to find our way through the ship, down into the oil doors down at the bottom of the ship to get into the boat, which we managed eventually. So we got into this boat and made for the shore. On the way in, we came across floating gliders who'd been dropped from planes above us, and I picked up the commanding officer of the invasion, or the glider invasion force, who was sitting on the wings of his glider. And I said to him, "Look, boy, I can't do anything to help you except stay with me, but keep out of my light because we have a job to do." I've never seen that day to this. Anyway, we landed. We have a cliff to climb. We got up a cliff. And the area where the guns were had barbed wire around it. My job, I got there first and cut the wire. I thought there might be mines on or something. There weren't. It was all quite easy. We went through a gap I'd cut in the wire. And I and my troop, we took the first gun without any bother. I shouted it to the chaps who were loading it to come out, because I wasn't going to go down in the dugout underneath and be the first person. They all came out with their hands up. And that was fine.
Were they Germans or Italians?
They were Italians. So it made life a bit easier. Yes, they gave in very quickly. Oh, we took that morning some 40 prisoners without any bother at all. And then that day the Sicily invasion commenced.
And you were awarded the MC for that action?
Yes, I think that was it. You got a citation there, but I can't remember quite well. I think it was that one, yes. I think it was Cape Moro de Porco. I think that was when I got the MC.
Were there many casualties?
Minor, yes, there were some. We came across my mind's going. We had them in England all on the coast, round things were to defending. Not a pillbox. Anyway, there were defence fortification, and my sergeant got killed. They fired and killed him from one of these. And then what we did was we crept up very close to it and threw a grenade in and killed a lot of them. But yes, we did have a few casualties. But on the whole, it was a very successful operation. And we took Sicily without too much trouble.
Did you take any further part in the Sicily operation?
Yes, having landed at Syracuse, we then thought, good, that's finished. Then I get an order to go to Augusta, which is further up the coast. So the next thing we did, get back onto a ship, and we've taken up the coast to Augusta, where we did another landing. And we lost a few people there. It was not so easy, because we had to land in deep water and holding our rifles over our head and sort of managed to get our feet on the ground and get into Augusta. But we took Augusta that evening.
Was there much fighting there?
Yes, indeed it was, because Augusta is at the end of a peninsula with a fairly narrow road leading from the main island. And we had to get across that, which was a pretty narrow causeway, and we got fired on quite a bit. Yes, it was a slightly less pleasant operation. But we managed to take it all right.
Who was leading that operation?
I think I was in charge. It was just my squadron were doing it.
Which squadron was that?
A squadron. I think I was. I wouldn't like to be too emphatic about it, but I think I was in charge at that moment.
So, those guns on Cape Morro de Porco, that was at Syracuse?
That was at Syracuse, yes.
Which was?
Outside Syracuse, by a minute.
Which was the worst experience? The one at Syracuse or the one at Augusta?
Very difficult for me to recall these things. I suppose Augusta was the worst, because we came up against opposition. Syracuse, we took them entirely by surprise. But in Augusta, they knew all about who we were and what we were doing. So they were ready for us.
Were these Germans?
By then, yes, Augusta was Germans. Syracuse was Italians.
Do you remember any incidents from the fighting at Augusta?
God, my mind's gone. No, I can't remember any particular incident, I must admit, because my mind's gone, because I remember it was a very exciting day or two.
Did you capture any Germans there?
Oh, yes, we did. We just put them back on our ship.
Any other memories from the Sicily operation?
Well, after Augusta, we went along the coast and went into the mainland of Italy to Sorrento. Taranto. We landed at Taranto. Oh, then we went up there. We did a landing on the west coast, which was quite interesting. We landed to cut the coast road so the German reinforcements couldn't get down. And that place called Termoli eventually. Termoli. That's right.
What's happened on that road?
Well, we cut the road and I remember it was quite an exciting operation. I can't remember the details.
Was that next to your squadron?
Well, we were reinforced later by B squadron as well. But to begin with, it was just us, yes. And so we held that west side, that road on the west coast, for quite long enough for the British Army to come through us again. Oh, that was it. We always landed a day ahead of the army and the main army. The idea was to let them get through us quickly, and so they can move up the coast. So we would land a day ahead of them, and they would pass through us. And of course, once they caught us up, the operation was over. It was fine. We did it on the west coast twice, and then went right round and did it on the east coast at Taranto. And we landed at Taranto. Oh, that's right. Let me get this right. We landed at Taranto quite successfully, no problems, and we retreated back to quite a substantial building, which was a school. And then I get a message from the colonel saying, we need reinforcements, you've got to come back. And by then I'd captured a truck, now I remember. So I put my fellows on the truck and said, right, we're driving up the coast. Because we were by then, the army had advanced about 5 miles or so up the coast. And at that moment, I see the colonel's messenger coming to speak to me. So I got out of the front of the truck to speak to him. And a shell dropped on the truck. He disappeared. My driver was dead. And everybody on the truck was either injured or dead. So I lost my whole squadron in that one shell, that one day in Italy, in Taranto.
Where were you when?
I was talking to the fellow, like I'm talking to you. He disappeared on the telegraph wires above my head. I wasn't scratched. Crazy.
So you were close to the lorry?
I was just outside it. I just got out of the passenger seat next to a driver. As I was in command, I sat next to a driver. Just like that, just one of these fortuitous things. You go through weeks of action and you get one silly shell that gets you. So I suddenly found I had nobody under command.
How many men were in your squadron?
I think it was 21. It was a troop, actually. I wasn't a squadron leader, I was a troop leader then. Then I had to go and find the colonel, which I did. He was inland, there was a lot of firing going on. And I said, Paddy said, what the devil are you doing here? I said, I haven't got anybody under command anymore, sir. It was unbelievable, really. The whole thing, whole lot wiped out with one shell. And we'd been together for 3 months, 6 months, I think.
How did Paddy Mann react to it?
It was war, shells were dropping, what could he do? What can you do? We buried them that night in the... Expect their bodies are still there in the grounds of the school. It brings tears to my eyes, I think, because it's quite extraordinary. That's a hell of a long time ago. But it was the worst incident of my life. Chaps I'd been working with for months, quite suddenly, with one lucky shell, they couldn't have aimed it at us, and it just dropped on the back of my truck. And extraordinary.
You were unscathed?
I wasn't even scratched. And the fellow I've been talking to, only bits of him around. It's unbelievable. But there it is. and we're talking about 1943. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Which month was this?
Must have been the summer of 43, yes.
Any other memories from this period?
No, I don't think I have. We, having done our job in Italy, they decided to bring us back to this country to train to parachute into France. So we got orders to go down to the coast. I'm trying to remember. Oh, we went over to Algeria. We were taken by a boat over to Algeria, got in a train in Algeria to get to Algiers, and to get a boat home to England to be trained for France.
Where did the training take place in England?
Chelmsford, just outside Chelmsford.
And this
in Essex.
This was the whole of your SAS unit?
What was left of it, yes. We all came back and reformed. And took on new recruits. Did training, did our parachute jumps. Ready to go into France.
So this was all in the Chelmsford area?
All.
In the Chelmsford area?
Yes, yes.
What job did you have with the SAS at this time?
I was a troop commander. I was a captain by then.
Which troop did you have?
Troop 1 of A Squadron, that was right, Troop 1 of A Squadron.
What was Paddy Mayne's attitude towards transferring from the Mediterranean to Northwest Europe?
Oh, he was very happy, provided he could be in action. He loved it. I mean, suited him very well.
Any incidents happened in the training?
Well, we did our parachute jumps. That was about all. What else did we do?
How did you get on with parachute jumping?
Well, it's fairly simple. You just jump when you're told to jump. That's all.
Where did this take place?
This took place outside Chelmsford. I forget where they... No, I think it was down in Essex. Essex, where was it? Or maybe... Is Chelmsford Essex? I can't remember. It is. Well, it was at an airfield somewhere outside Chelmsford. And we did 5 jumps. And then we qualified to wear wings on our shoulders. Ridiculous, isn't it? But there we were, yes. And then we stayed there until the French invasion.
Did you go across on D-Day?
I went across on D+1, but we couldn't find our landing ground, so I was back again. We were up in Essex at that time. Where were we? Where did we do it? Where did we jump? God, I'm mad. Pathetic. Anyway, we went up the next night and found it and did our jumps. We were right down near Dijon, right behind them, a long way from where the fighting was going on. The reason was we were supposed to prevent the Germans reinforcing from the south. So we were to blow up the railway coming up from Nice to the north. So we used to blow up the railway every 3 nights or so. That was our main job.
So this was the whole SAS unit?
One troop of the unit. We all had different jobs to do. My particular job, as I say, was to cut the railway south of Dijon.
How did you do that?
Well, we took explosives with us and just walked. What happened was, I made a camp just outside Dijon. We landed in the Morvan Forest, M-O-R-V-A-N Forest, and we had jeeps dropped to us. And then I took a jeep with four chaps and drove over to get close to the railway in a wood outside Dijon. And then I sent the other jeeps back to bring the rest of the squadron in. And from there, we went off in patrols of four chaps with explosives on our back to cut the railway.
So did you parachute into the Morvan area?
Yes. Not into the Morvan area. We parachuted much further north than that. The idea was that we would have jeeps dropped to us to drive to there. But we parachuted into... God, Solia, near Solia, S-A-U-L-I-E-U, Solia. And that's right. And then we had enough jeeps to drive south.
Were you collaborating with the resistance?
Eventually, I collaborated, because I came across some resistance near my camp. And we collaborated very closely with them, yes. There were a lot of stinkers, but there they were. Yes, we got them to surround us so that we would get good notice of any attack.
In what way were they stinkers?
Well, I didn't like the way they executed their own people, this kind of thing. I found that costly. Nothing I could do about it. But they would... If anybody did it, I saw people shot... And we captured a couple of French. Now, you'd think their own nation, all right, these chaps are working for the Germans. I know that's true. But, you know, when the French get brutal, they made them dig their own graves, stand beside them and shove them through the head. I found it quite revolting. But that's war. It's pretty beastly. Yes, I worked closely with the Mackie. But I wasn't very fond of them.
Were the Mackie well armed?
They all had rifles, yes. They all had arms of some nature.
How had they captured these two collaborators?
Good question. I think they stopped them on the road. I think they were in a truck. They also had arms on them. I can't remember the exact circumstances, but they'd captured them on the road. We used to set up roadblocks on the roads south of Dijon and stop anything that came along. And if anything was suspicious, then they'd take them.
So were they certainly collaborators?
Oh, there's no question about that, I don't think, yes.
Were the collaborators trying to persuade the resistance not to shoot them? Or were they just fatalistic?
Oh, they were. Once they were captured, they knew their lot was up. But they'd done quite a lot of damage in the district. And I mean, no doubt they deserve to be shot, but there we are. I don't like to shoot a man just like that very much. There we are.
Was it easy blowing up the railway?
Yes, that's not difficult. We used to make our way to the railway with explosives, tape them underneath the rails, and put detonators in and blow them up. As we could cut the railway quite easily, but they could repair it equally easily. So it wasn't a great deal. I don't think we ever delayed them more than a few days. I think the thing was fairly futile.
What did the attitude of the local population seem to be to what was going on?
Oh, they were all on our side, the civilian population there, yes. Oh, I met a charming girl, I can tell you, absolutely sweet. And she was delightful. And they used to help us with food and everything. You know, they couldn't have welcomed us more, they were splendid.
How long were you there for, operating in this area?
Must have been about 3 months, I think. It was from the second day of the war, which was what, in July, wasn't it? I can't remember. Or the battle there. I think Yes, I was there about 3 months, I think.
So what else were you doing apart from cutting the railway?
That was our only reason we were sent there, was to cut the railway. But...
So did you have to keep on doing it?
Well, we did it, you know, once or twice a week for about a month or 6 weeks or something like that. We kept doing it, yes.
Were you getting air supplies?
Yes. We had drops to us. We used to put out lights at night and we got some very good drops. Food, ammunition, mines, whatever, yes.
What did you think to the SAS recruits here as compared with what you'd had in North Africa?
Well, they used a similar system. I mean, everybody had to be interviewed by the colonel. And on the whole, we kept the standard up very well. Yes, we had a good crowd of chaps. Yes.
Did you have a radio operator?
Yes. We always had a radio operator. Indeed. Well, it's one of the things, other things we did. And when you ask me, because things come out, we used to keep eyes open for planes going or German troops in trucks. And we were on a hill there, and I used to send a message back to England, look, on this road, there's a convoy going up, and they would bomb it from England. Yes, that was quite useful. We were able to give them targets in England.
Were the Germans in this area very combative?
Well, they never... Yes, they were. They drove us out of one wood we were hiding in. Yes, they were. Once they knew where to find you, they could be a damn nuisance. Yes, they attacked us quite heavily on one occasion.
With any success from their point of view?
Only that they made us move. But apart from that, they didn't kill many because we made ourselves scarce as soon as they attacked. But they didn't drive us out. Mm.
Did you ever capture any Germans?
Yes, no. I did. Now, who was that? That's a good question. What was that? Yes, we did. That's quite right. One of them became a batman for me. That's quite right. Very decent chap, actually. He was only an ordinary soldier, but a very decent chap. Yes, we did capture a few. Luckily, in those days, I spoke French and German, so life was much easier from that point of view.
Were you worried about his escaping and reporting back?
I can't remember, but it... I think I kept him under fairly close control. Now I don't remember it occurring to me very much. Mind you, they knew we were there anyway. It was just a matter that he couldn't have given them much information anyway because the Germans knew we were there because we kept attacking from there.
Where did you prefer operating, in North Africa, Italy, or France?
On the whole, I liked Italy best because we were so well trained for that, and landing from the sea, and we could take the initiative all the time there, whereas the desert was a messy business, and France even more so. So, no, I enjoyed the operations in Italy most of all.
What do you mean by a messy business?
Well, you didn't have a clear-cut operation to do. You just, in the desert, you just took off in the hope of finding targets. In Italy, it was even in France, it was a messy business also. When you're being supplied from the air, it's always a bit difficult to control the whole situation. Italy, I enjoyed more because we landed.